Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 261, part 1, People. Today is Friday, October 5th, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Tonight's tape is entitled, People. Tonight, let's look at the character of Christ Jesus' people. John 17, 16, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And I believe Christ Jesus' prayer was for a very special people. I don't believe this was a universal prayer. I pray for them. I pray for them, he said. Well, then, who are these people who described as them or they? Who are special, the Bible says? Who are favored, who share the Savior's prayer? Who are recognized by his love? Whose names are written in heaven, the Bible says? The people for whom Jesus Christ prays are an unearthly, the Bible says, people. They are different than the world's people. They are distinguished from it. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So, number one, let's look at the text here doctrinally. Secondly, we'll look at it experimentally. Thirdly, we'll look at it practically. So number one, doctrinally. And the doctrine of this text is that God's people are a people who are not of this world, even as Christ Jesus was not of this world. And so now listen. It is not so much that they are not of the world. Listen real careful now. As they are not of the world, even as Christ Jesus was not of the world. Are you hearing this? And so let me make this very, very clear tonight. Are you hearing this? Let me make this text very, very clear. They are not a people who are not of this world, but they are not Christian. There's a lot of them. The somewhere over the rainbow folks. There is a lot of people, I said, who are not of this world, but they are not Christian. They don't have the Christian attitude. Are you hearing this? You listening on the radio, are you hearing it? The somewhere over the rainbow folks. They're not of this world, but they're not Christian. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. The criers, the sentimentalists, the moaners, the melancholy dreamers, their spirits are so refined. Their characters are so delicate that they are useless. They love to read these tear-jerking stories, books. And, you know, they take themselves away from it all and live in some quiet kind of a cave. And so they become so good that they can't bear to do as poor human creatures do. They're a little above it. And I think there's a whole lot of that going on right now where there's people that are a little above, a little beyond. Let's call them the untouchables. And they are so spiritually minded if you mention the word work. They about faint. I've been called a workhorse. Well, at least I got some sense, even if it is horse sense. I mean, how worldly, Pastor Paul, all of this working. I mean, they are in a 24-hour-a-day Bible study. They call this, oh my God, I am so tired of it. They call this walking in the Spirit. And they're so walking in the Spirit that you can't even touch them. They're untouchable. It's like they have no flesh surrounding them. Praise God, they do have flesh surrounding them because there's a lot of evil in a lot of folks. Sometimes it's contained in people. But they're so spiritual that you can't hardly even touch them. And so work has become a word that is not spiritual. And that claiming ministry, and I know I talk about it, but it isn't quite dead yet. I want to make sure that it dies completely, never to raise up again. And so that claiming ministry suits them very well. Of course, I think if food was withheld for any amount of time, because of their spirituality, I mean. I believe they would soon start packing lunch buckets. And I think there is a lot of this stupid sentimentalism. And I think a lot of folks fall right into it. And they read these books that intoxicate their brains. I think there are so many of these charismatic books out there. And so many of these charismatic books that have been written that even almost the Encyclopedia Britannica is more interesting than they are. Because you see, a lot of these books are a lot of fantasies for the most part. Now, I'm sorry, but there's a whole lot of Christian books that are on the market that are pure hogwash. And it's almost become a business to have all of these books and books and books and books and books and books lined up at all of these meetings for a whole lot of folks that wander out there after the meeting and they're not doing anything anyway, and now they want to read all these stupid books. And I think that's becoming a thing of the past. And I think people just need to get back into the Bible. Start to read the Bible and lay down all of these endless reading of books. The Bible says it won't profit you too much. It'll intoxicate you. It'll give you little catchphrases, and you'll read this book, and then you'll try that for a week, and you'll read this possibility thinking, you'll try that, and then this positive thinking, and you'll try that, and you try this, and you try all those. Oh, at least it keeps you busy. Why not try Jesus Christ? Why not try working in the kingdom of God? They sometimes think I have a very lofty, lofty destiny. I'll just smile my way into the next world. That's not the way it is. You can't go through life just smiling your way through. There are some sufferings and there are some tears involved. Now I hear someone on the radio cautioning me. Well, don't get so negative. No, I'm being positive here. There's a whole lot of faith right now that has been shipwrecked. Because people have read all of these books and tried all of these things and now they just sort of gave up. Now, these people are not of this world for sure. They are from some wonderland. But listen, the world doesn't want them either. What good are they? They are no earthly good. See, we can get so spiritual that we're no earthly good. We can purse our lips together and we can smile and we can be sweet. We can do all those things, but we're no earthly good. We're like the people that step around the wounded one and walk on our way. That isn't what it's all about. God wants us to be some earthly good. Get a little bit earthy. What does that mean? Get some dirt on your hands. Stop floating about 6 inches above the ground. You know, I think a lot of them survive by putting people on guilt trips. That's how they survive. And it's my contention that a lot of those folks that are busy putting each other on guilt trips are inwardly very, very angry. They have a suppressed anger. Something that they're holding on the inside. They don't blow up, they clam up. And then they seethe on the inside. Burn, huh? And they don't let it out and they become spiritual. But they're meaner than hell itself. I think this is what we need to face right now. That if these people disappeared, and if we get that way and we disappear, we wouldn't be missed at all. If you, listening on the radio, were to leave, would you be missed at all? What earthly good have you been? Now, if a dishwasher isn't here at the mission, he's missed. If Jim were not to be here, he would be missed. If Wayne wasn't here, or any of you people, you're all working. So all we have left here is the workers. And I'm going to work you to death. Until death do us part, we're married in this job of working. Work it out, the Bible says. But anyway, if a lot of folks were gone that were Christians, so-called, they'd never be missed. They're so spiritual, they are never aware of anything but themselves. And I don't care how high we get in the realms of radio or TV or whatever, we can become so consumed with ourselves that we are no earthly good. All we're doing is putting the blame on some. Put the blame on me, boy. Put the blame on me. You ever heard that song? Anybody? Yeah. Put the blame on me, boy. Put the blame on me. And they're always blaming somebody. I think there is such a thing as being not of this world because of sentimentalism and still not being really a Christian. Well, they are religious. They are so awfully good that they can't live with us sinful creatures at all. Now, is there anyone in here that is without sin? Is there anyone on the radio that is without sin? One night, and I had a whole group of legalists sitting here. And they were writing their notes down, man. They were just writing these just as fast as they could go. They must have been taking shorthand. Now, I put a little piece of carpet up here. And I said, all right, come on up here and stand on this carpet. Whomsoever will, stand on the carpet. And allow the discernment of God to hunt out every sin and let discernment work. Will anyone come forward? Of course, no one would. Any man say he be without sin, he's a liar and there's no truth in him, the Bible says. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's no one good, no, no one but the Father. But I said they are so awfully good that they can't live with us sinful creatures. And everything that doesn't add up, by the way, to their greatnesses is of the pit. That's going to become a favorite word in the end. All of the self-righteous people gather together, and there's storm clouds gathering even now. Oh, yes, and a waste of time it is, and they'll all gather over on this side, all of the self-righteous ones, in long, black, ugly robes, mallet in hand, and, legal papers in hand. And they'll all form into sort of an icky group. That's a good word, isn't it? And they'll all gather over here. Then all of the grace people will come over here. They'll be over here and they'll argue back and forth. But then listen, preacher, if the grace of God isn't preached, you're not preaching at all. If the love and the mercy and the forgiveness isn't there, there's no ministry. If it's a legalistic, if it's a condemnation, it smacks of the Antichrist. definitely. It's not like Christ, so it must be Antichrist. It's almost Hitler in nature. Strong words? Well, going to have to get strong, because they'll stand right in the doorway and won't let nobody in to get saved. Everybody will have to measure up to their lip-smacking, icky ways. But anyway, they must be distinguished from us altogether, and so they wear, and they will start wearing even different clothing. They'll get into different rituals. And you'll see a whole lot of phony bawling and crying and crawling to the altars. Now, I'm not against a person crying when he's under deep conviction. But I wonder sometimes about all these folks that are always... I asked a young man, one time I just got saved, and I'd been to going to the church for about a half year, and this guy would come up twice a week, and he'd be bawling at the altar. I says, what did that guy do? Did he murder somebody or something? He's always bawling. Doesn't he have any joy at all? And there's going to be a whole lot of sickness, mental derangement going on, and people that are going to be under a phony guilt trip. You want to get guilty? Just start thinking about yourself. Think about every thought that you have throughout the day. Murder? Oh, I never think those thoughts. Oh, yes, you do. You think all those thoughts. Try to get into that. Try to get into yourself. Do you really want to get mental? Start thinking about what you think about. That's why the Bible says, keep your mind stayed on Christ. And so there'll be self-appointed prophets raised up by a self-appointed prophet. Well, there's so many prophets and prophetesses now that, I mean, they're so busy, they wait a minute, it's my turn! I mean, they're arguing over whose turn it is to squeeze somebody's hip. Everybody, it seems like, has got a word. Now, they'll call me from time to time and say, Pastor Paul, do you have a word for me? I say, read your Bible, pray and fast, and get right with God. Goodbye. Because, see, we don't always have to look for a word from somebody else, but we keep our mind stayed on Christ. We say, Jesus, what would you have me to do today? What work have you prepared before the foundation of the world was even founded for me to do? Are you hearing this, honey? And so the sentimental people, above others people, people that are above us, people that are above working. God, we got a mess going on. They wear their religion. You know how well some people can wear religion? We can do it too, can't we? Yeah. We can get up in the morning and we wear it. We put on a face, and we put on a religious face, and we put on how we walk and how we look. That's putting on. The world knows. They say, oh, stop putting on. And so we can have sort of a put-on religion. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Special clothes, special haircuts, special hats. They so want to be different that they alter their dress. You better believe they are not of this world. And let me remind such people that they're not being of the world has nothing to do with it. It's not being not of the world so much as being not as of the world as Jesus Christ is not of the world. And so Jesus must be our example. Jesus, who sat with sinners. Jesus, who cast out the demons. Jesus, who said 70 times 7, you must forgive. Jesus, that went through the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. We must be different from the world like Jesus was. Not like what you see people trying to be. not of the world. But like Jesus was not of the world, you be like that. But first, we must remember that Christ Jesus was not of the world in nature. He was perfect. He was pure. He was undefiled. While the Bible says we were born with worldliness in our hearts. You get two kids together. And one is, okay, 1 year old, one, or say 15 months old, and another one is 3 or 4 months old. And they sort of wait for the parents to go out of the room. Or even two little babies that are sitting together. They know. They inherently have that evil in them, right? Well, that's just the way we are. That's nothing to get on a guilt trip about. We are inherently evil. And so mom leaves the room. The kid looks around, slaps the other kid. They can't even talk yet. What made him do that? Their old nature. Don't blame everything on the devil. Demons can learn a few things from human beings. Where'd you learn that? Oh, I learned that from a human being. So Jesus must be our example. Solomon says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's not only there, it's bound up in our nature. It's our nature to be foolish. And oh, how difficult it is to remove. Have you found yourself doing a few foolish things lately? Of course, some won't admit it. Have you? Have you? Have you found yourself doing a few foolish things? God knows. I'm just put both hands up. Throw my legs out to the side. Yeah, confession is good for the soul. But see, we can get so spiritual that we're no earthly good. We can't relate to this person. Like, my word, I wash my hands of this. I can't relate with this. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people that couldn't relate with the people that we're relating with. Down here on a hobo bus. They just couldn't understand how people got that way when they got that way one step at a time. Are you hearing this? And so I said it's difficult to remove. And so Jesus was different. His nature was, of course, not a worldly one. It was different from everybody else. Even though that he talked to all of them. Here's the difference. He stood side by side with a Pharisee, but it was very clear that he was not one of them. He was not of the Pharisees' world. He sat with a Samaritan woman. He mingled with publicans. He mixed with people, yet his nature was different. And so it is with Christians. They have a new nature. They don't have to prove it. See, when you try to prove you have a new nature, you don't have one. And the world is so smart again, they say, what are you trying to prove? Exactly. When we have to prove we're something, there's something wrong. When there's something to prove, when we try to prove how holy we are, God says you're a liar. There's no truth in you. When we try to prove it, and we have no mercy and no forgiveness, and we go full blast on someone, we're trying to prove something. What are you trying to prove? Preachers, what are we trying to prove when we condemn? We point that long, nasty old fingernail out there, that legalist fingernail out there. What are we trying to prove? No, we don't have to prove it. Jesus proved it for you. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can take no credit for the new nature, even though it doesn't show up. It's still there by faith. Believe it. sooner or later. That's why it says when you go to meet him in the air, if you're raptured out of here, you'll be changed and you'll know all things. You'll be like him. No, oh, but we try to prove how spiritual we are. Brother, you are just growing in the Lord so much. Sure, there's growth, and sure, there's, you know, leaving things. But you don't have to prove it. You really want to get rotten? Try to prove you are something. Try to prove how nice you are. Do you ever try to be nice? No, either you're nice by the grace of God or you're not nice at all. You cannot be nice all by yourself. It is impossible because you're trying to prove how nice you are. It's only the grace of God that can make you nice. You ever try to be nice a whole day? You go to get up in the morning. Well, tonight, this person is not going to, or today, this person isn't going to make me mad. I will not get mad. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Talk to yourself. I'm not going to pay attention to that person. I say, God, I'm not going to pay any attention to him. I'm going to be as nice as I can to that person, and I'm not going to blow up. You know what's going to happen? Terrible blow up. If you don't blow up that day, you'll go home and won't sleep all night. The next day, you'll blow up at him. I didn't sleep all night on account of you. Now you're going to get it. You cannot prove that you are nice. It's got to be by the grace of God that you're nice at all. Huh? It's all by the grace of God. Do you want to? No. A further step. Let's go way up there. Try to be holy. I'm not talking about just being nice. I'm talking be holy. And try to prove that you're holy. You know what makes you holy? Jesus makes you holy. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. Hey, there's a whole lot of things coming up, and there's storm clouds right now that are forming, and we're raising up a whole lot of mean folks that all of a sudden are going to try to be holy on their own and preach holiness. But I'll tell you what, it's something that you have to ask God for. Some of the meanest folks I know preach that. You know what holy is? It's getting down on your hands and knees and praying and saying, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. That's holiness. Saying, Lord, help me today. I can't stand that person, Lord. I totally can't make it with that person. Help me. Are you hearing this? We don't have to prove it. We don't have to advertise it. We believe in this, and we believe in that, and get a war going. What do you believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's it. That says it all. We believe this, and we're moral this, and we're that, and we're majorities, and we're all that. What's that prove? Does that mean everybody else is immoral? I don't understand that. I mean, let's go on down to the 7-Eleven, pick up some machine guns and blow them nasty books right off. What good is it going to do? Hold up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. And all people will be drawn onto him. Not drawn onto us because we're so holy that we have to march on stores and we march on this and we march on hospitals. We march, march, march. Ding, 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 ding. Mean. We're mad, half of us, when we go on those marches, we're mad because we have to be out there, but someone asks us to go. Do you want to go on a march with us? Hey, come on, let's go, huh? And we go on these marches, and we don't want to be on, half of them don't want to be on them anyway. Better to get down on your hands and knees and pray. And say, oh, but for the grace of God, there I am. There I go. What a waste of time. What a poor witness. Why not get out and start to do something? Feed the poor. Go to jails. Tell people about the love of Christ. Don't tell them how holy you are and how good you are. They don't want to hear about you. You put them in prison in the first place. And so we don't have to wear what we are. And see, because the difference is one of nature and not of an act. Pretend and pretense. So much pretending goes on. You ever spend the day pretending? Huh? Do you ever spend the whole day pretending? And the phone rings. Oh, hello. How are you? Praise the Lord. I was up on the... See, now being down here has really been good for me. I was up here on Lowry. And a person, I must have known him. I mean, he almost wrecked his car. He put his whole body out of the car and said, "Praise the Lord!" And it scared me, and I turned around and I thought, what was that? And the whole street stopped, and somebody thought something had happened. And see, that's the extent of this fellow's Christianity, is reaching out of the window, not doing anything. That's sort of like loud prayers in the streets, so everybody can hear you. Praise the Lord, brother! Well, I just ducked into the cafe as fast as I could, did a quick wave, and got in there. I don't have to prove nothing. Brother, I said, praise the Lord. And you didn't say, praise the Lord back. I said, man, you woke up half of the neighborhood. You didn't prove anything by putting that on. It didn't prove a thing. And by the way, why haven't you sent a check down or even come down to see us down here on the north side? And all of a sudden you have to spot me on the street and you're going to give me a salutation, a praise the Lord. No, I said, no, I said, I'm not going to have to advertise things like that. I don't have to prove anything. But isn't there a lot of that proving going on? And you know, it's so phony. You might go to a concert, or you might go to some place, and you see all kinds of people. Then we want to be seen by people. So we're sitting up in the front row here, and we want everybody to see we're there. And so we'll get up, and we'll turn around, and make sure everybody sees. Oh, there's Pat and Bill and Mike. Hi. But what are you doing? Hi, over there. Hi. Hey! Well, just why don't you get up on the stage? That's all put on. That's all pretense. Being down here has sobered me up quite a bit. I'm not drunk with the pleasures of seeing people and being seen by people. I'm not drunk with that. You can get drunk with that. Wanting to be seen of people and heard. No, our difference from the worlding is not merely external, but it's internal. It's like the difference between a dove and a raven, or a lion and a lamb, or a shark and a goldfish. He's not of the world by nature. You can't make him a worldling. You might cause him to backslide, but he won't fit in. Backsliders, if you're listening to me right now, God's married to the backslider. You can't get away from God. Now, there might be someone that says you can, but you can't. No one shall slip out of my Father's hand. See, you're not having a good time. That proves you're one of Christ. You're miserable. Then sin becomes obnoxious to you. I mean, why that is, you got a new nature. You're different. You've been begotten again to a lively, it says, a lively hope. Our nature is Christ-like. For ye are not of the world, even as Christ was not of the world. But you start out like when you were a little guy with your dad. You kick the tires. And you put your hands on your hips. And dad kicks the tires, and you kick the tires. And mommy has the babies, and then you have your little dolls. And you imitate like that. You start out as babes in Christ. You don't know everything. Maybe you'll even get mad and throw your little raggedy end doll in the corner and step on her. Happens. Maybe someone will see you and say, no, that's not the way to treat that doll. See, we grow. Did you ever grow in Christ and you think, boy, I'm sure glad I'm out of that stage. I'm really glad I'm out of that stage. I'm so glad I'm not... an infant in that particular instance. And then all of a sudden you find out you really are an infant. You say, God, I had so much faith the other day, and I don't have any. I know people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Have you ever found yourself where you say you don't have an ounce of faith left? Where'd it go? Anybody in here? Am I all by myself with this one? Oh boy, this is really a man of faith. Huh? You preachers that are preaching faith, have you ever found yourself where you had no faith at all that day? Oh, where'd it go? Huh? Well, you have to pretend and put on pretense. But never let it be said that you're a man of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. See, that's why God only gives us a mustard seed at a time. Because if we could store it up, we'd be dangerous. Wouldn't we? Wouldn't we be dangerous if we could store up faith as to move mountains, huh? All every day? Move that mountain, this mountain. We'd have collisions. Ooh. You are not of this world in your office. And so Christ Jesus' office had nothing to do with worldly things. Are you a king, they ask him? Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. Art thou a priest, they ask? Yes, but my priesthood is forever. It's not a temporary thing. It's not temporal. And what is our office as a believer? We are priests, the Bible says, unto God. And the office I have been called to is to be the office of the salt of this earth. We are to be tasty. We're not supposed to bring out people's allergies. We're not supposed to bring out people's allergies, I say. And so they're allergic to us. We have to make it so that we're tasty, salty. The Bible says, I am a city set on a hill. What does that mean? It says, I am a light that can't be hid. That's my office. An office of sacrifice. Now, a city set on a hill has got a few sacrifices if it's lit up. You have an office of obedience, an office of giving love, an office of giving peace, an office of giving help. And so our occupation then is not a worldly one. We're not to be judgers. We're not to be condemners. We are to minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's it.
There you have it. That was episode 261, part 1, People. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it
you're gonna have to serve some. You're poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.